Hi, this is Pastor Jack of Real Radio, and the times that we're living in right now are truly amazing times, and this upcoming election will be perhaps one of the most important in our lifetime. And so because of that, I want to give you the information and the tools that you'll need to vote your biblical worldview. That's right, Christian. We should be voting our biblical worldview, not our party, not our persuasions are not in any other form but our biblical worldview as a believer. And so I want to share with you a fantastic interview that took place with Dr. Wayne Grudem, a world-renowned theologian and best-selling author of Politics According to the Bible, a great book, and also Dinesh D'Souza, creator of the blockbuster documentary 2016, Obama's America. We've had the chance to interview both these men of God, and I think you'll find it most enlightening. You can go to realradioactive.org, that's realradioactive.org, and click on Watch the Interview. That's realradioactive.org, and click on Watch the Interview. God bless you.
Today on Real Radio.
Look at the power of these few verses. God places the Corinthian believer in such a lofty place that he doesn't beat them up. Listen, he pulls them up back to where they should be.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack Hibbs continues now in his verse-by-verse series through Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. And our focus is in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 4 through 9. Which is still part of Paul's opening, by the way. Now, the church at Corinth had some severe problems in certain continuing sins, and yet Paul still gives God thanks for those believers. In other words, he didn't just write them off. He didn't just give up on them. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now continuing his look at some of Paul's opening remarks in this first letter to the Corinthians. It's a lesson called Our Royal Route to Heaven.
My friends, listen, the church cannot do anything for you but love on you through people, not the building. And the reason why that's true is because of the Holy Spirit using the Word of God in our lives. And the reason why that's true is because the Word of God is all sufficient. This is it. You don't need anything? Well, what about a second testament? You don't need it. Well, what about, I need to read maybe these other, well, you can go ahead and read whatever you want to read. But just remember this, you're playing with demonic powers when you read those other things. And if you're a researcher, and I understand that, I do that myself. I've read various books of the various different cults and groups. It's very difficult. It's very dark. You can get very depressed when you're reading some of these writings, but you got to come back to the Bible. I remember when I was doing a prolonged study for 6 months on Islam, and I got so depressed reading the Quran. It's so depressing. And my wife said, man, you got to spend more time in the Bible. And boy, was she ever right. This book says God loves you and that his grace is available for you and to you. And he's telling the Corinthian believers about this. Why? For this reason. Because we've been given everything to succeed as a Christian. We don't need anything else. Oh, you know, I'm just waiting for this. No. God's given everything through his word. Church, listen, we've got to not be like the Corinthians. And we need to be like the church ought to be today. And that is believing what he has said. Somebody says something and we have a tendency to believe it. God says it and we have a tendency to doubt that. Why? It's unbelief. Watch this. We've been given enough to succeed. By succeed, I mean in the spiritual things. This is radical. Verse 5. That you were, past tense, enriched, ED, past tense, enriched in everything by him in all utterance and in all knowledge. What is he saying? Three things you need to know. Number one, the word is enriched. It means to be pregnant with blessings, overflowing, more than enough. You were enriched. You guys, I see a picture in my mind that you don't want to see. Why? Because I am the worst cook in the world. For you. For me, I'm great. The stuff I make, Lisa says, open the windows. She makes me cook my toast outside. I have to take my toast outside, the toaster outside, and plug it in. Why? Because it's burning black. And if you ever go to Mimi's, they see me coming and they go, as black as my apron, right? I like my toes scorched. Okay? I like peanut butter and everything. If it doesn't have peanut butter on it, it's no good. And I love scrambling my eggs with tuna and jalapeno and put some peanut butter on there. And Lisa will walk in and she'll say, "That's for you, right?" "Yeah, it's totally my thing." Then she's at peace. That's his thing. He makes it, he eats it, he cleans it. Okay? That word enriched, whatever I can find, mushrooms, jalapenos, peanut butter, throw it in there, man, and stir it. Watch what happens. And I will eat it. I will eat it. And the older you get, the funner that gets. And here's the amazing thing. It's overflowing with stuff. And Paul says to the Corinthian church, your life is overflowing with stuff that God has provided for you. And somebody's over in the corner spiritually eating tofu, not knowing that God has empowered them with everything they need. Enablement, given enough to succeed. The 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, "For all the promises of God in Christ are yes, and in him, amen, to the glory of God through us." What a tremendous thing. What does that mean? That means as a Christian, whatever's in Genesis all the way through to Revelation now becomes your promise also. Even those promises that belong to Israel become your promises also. Why? Because you've been grafted in to the family of God. It's pretty amazing. G. Campbell Morgan said this, and it's a powerful statement. Paul is talking about a Christian man or woman that is possessed by the Holy Spirit of God in this world. A Holy Spirit-possessed Christian is God's greatest argument against man's lost condition and the path that he is on. Think of that. A Spirit-filled, tornado-driven by God Christian. I'm not talking about being an obnoxious Christian. I'm talking about being a Spirit-filled Christian. G. Campbell Morgan said again, "The doctrine of the grace of God is purely academic until you need it. Then it becomes the most useful, practical resource available to the Christian warrior and his witness." The grace of God. And then also this, understanding. Look at this. Verse 6 teaches us that we've been shown enough to understand. Even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. He is saying to the Corinthian church, I have seen God at work in your life, so don't tell me he's not working. You guys know how encouraging that is? I wish we knew one another better. And that's why small groups are so important. And ministry, getting involved in ministry. That's how a big church gets small, is getting involved. You begin to know one another, get each other's names. And then you begin to say things like this, "Hey, man, I've been seeing God work in your life." Do you know what that does to people? Because we don't recognize God at work in our lives. This lady, first service, she said, "I'm visiting from Dallas." And I said, "Great." It's like, okay. And she goes, "Yeah, it's just great. I'm so happy to be here. It's to put up your face to the voice." And then it dawned on me, "Oh, Dallas, oh, listen." She listens to us on Christian radio in Dallas, Texas. So she's got this connection. "I thought you were taller." You know, it's all that stuff. "Thought you were taller, thought you were younger, thought you were..." All this great encouragement. But the thing is this. Because of the Word of God going over the radio waves, she's sitting in her car during drive time, and for 30 minutes, we're together around the Word of God. And her thought process is... there's a connection there. There is that understanding that God gives, that we are in the family of God. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord." Well, that's cool. Verse 7 teaches us this also. Enablement is that we've been equipped enough to be useful. Look what he says, "so that you come short in no gift." Man, the Corinthian church was very active. They were carnal, but they were very active as a church. But look at this. They had a strange, what's called eschatological view in light of their conduct. It says there that they eagerly wait for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is in contradiction, which is amazing. Watch this. They were so Are you guys listening? They were so messed up in their understanding of the Bible, of God, and their life. We will learn of sins that they were committing and celebrating. Terrible sins. But they believed that Jesus could come back at any minute. They were a contradiction. They thought they were doing the right thing, even against the Spirit's conviction in their own mind. When they have the thought, I shouldn't be doing this, they kept doing it. And if you were to ask them, do you believe Jesus could come back today? Sure do. You see, today we would say, because I believe Jesus could come back today, I want to be ready. And Paul is highlighting the reality that you believe Christ is coming any moment, but you don't live like it. You're having sex with Rocky or sleeping with Bubbles. Now, if your name is Bubbles or Rocky, nobody told me that. I just made that up. And then you get out of bed and you go to church. Praise the Lord. You're Corinthian. You can get away with that for a little while, but if you're really belonging to God, he's going to grab you by the ear and say, come with me. My spirit dwells in you, and your body I own. I bought it with a price, and I am going to preserve you. And you're going to live your life, God says, my way. And this drives people crazy because you say, I want to live my life God's way. Well, you're living your life to somebody's way. Isn't it amazing in this room right now? All of us, there's a lot of people here right now. We're slaves of someone right now or something. Is it drugs? Are you addicted to alcohol or sex or whatever? Is it power? That's the master in your life. And you're its slave. And the Bible says, listen, you've been delivered from that by the grace of God. And now the Lord is your master. How cool is that? You've been set free. This is a powerful thing. He's made us useful now. When once before, frankly, we didn't want anything to do with God, and God didn't want anything to do with us except to rescue us. And he's done that so that you come short of no gift. This is a very, very powerful thing, you guys, and I don't want to belabor it. I'll just simply say this. It's spiritual gift. Watch out. Church, listen. I have seen in 30 plus years of Christianity, this happened too much. A very powerful, gifted, or I should say talented salesman gets saved and he becomes a Christian. And now he's been a Christian for 5 months, and people will say, wow, you're great. You should become a pastor or an evangelist. Why? Oh, just listen to him. Watch out. There's human talent for American Idol. Of course it's God-given, but to whose glory? There's a human talent, and then there's supernatural God-given gift. One gives glory to God, and the other one gives glory to man, and there's a big difference. Third and final point, it's this. Verses 8 through 9, it's faithfulness. I love this part so much, I should have started with this in the beginning. Faithfulness, we are being kept by the power of God. We're being kept by him in his power. Kept, protected, presented. How do I put it? Look at this. See this water? This water is being kept by the plastic of this bottle. This transports this water until it goes down and it's presented to the person taking it in. The Lord, he's the power. You are inside, as it were, this container. He will take you through this life and present you to the Father in the end. Having said that, watch this. Verse 8 teaches us, he will never take us halfway. Who, that should be a capital W, by the way. It refers to the, grammatically, it refers to the one of verse 7. Who is that? Jesus Christ is the one who's the who, will also confirm you to the end. You're not only confirmed in Christ, now all the way through to the end of your life, Jesus is going to confirm you all the way through. What does that mean? It means that there's a transaction contract. Church, listen, we're almost done. There's a contract between Jesus and the Father to get you to heaven.
Don't mess with it. It's wonderful. By the way, you can't break it. You can only abuse that by not obeying him. Enjoy this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. That's a contract between God the Father and God the Son for your benefit and mine. This is glorious news. You need some encouragement? Write this down. 1 John 3:19. In your life, do you always feel like you're just blowing it all the time? Miserable? I don't pray enough. I don't witness enough. He's got us covered. 1 John 3:19. And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. How's that? For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. What great news. You want some encouragement? Can you say as a believer that God started a work in your life? Don't raise your hand. Maybe things aren't going the way you had hoped. Can you say today, I remember the day when I was excited about Jesus? Can you say that I remember the day when I was being used by God? I remember the day when it mattered. Listen to this. You may think you're finished, but he's not finished. He will never take you halfway. In humanity, it's pathetic. In my house, horrible. You come to my house, I got baseboard halfway. Bedrooms painted, almost. Yard weeded, almost. But in the reality, you cannot almost be a Christian. But if today you're not as far along as you ought to be, you know what he does? He says things to you like this. Write it down. Philippians 1:6. Be confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you, baseboard, paint in your life, he will complete it until the day Jesus Christ. He doesn't give up. Isn't that great? So today you say, I'm a Christian. Okay, awesome. And if today you're saying, you know what, I know I'm a Christian, but I don't want to raise my hand because I'm really messing up. Hey, you know what? We love you. Paul loves you. The church loves you. The Corinthians love you. And we're just going to sit back and watch God deal with you. Because he loves you so much, he ain't going to let you get away with it. And he's going to finish the job that he started. And it's all for your good. It's easier just to let him do it. Much easier. His faithfulness cannot leave us alone. Look at verse 8. That you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. You guys, this is amazing. This is all a future truth, what's called eschatologically. Prophetically, this is true because it is in the past achieved. Jesus did this for us. Are you guys bored with this? I love this. We are so safe in the everlasting arms of God that when you leave this building in a moment, you should go out there like a wind. Why? Because God sees me blameless. Little kids understand that. There's an age in a little kid's life where they know they can do no wrong in daddy's eyes. Some parents think that even when their kids are older. Hey, your kid just robbed the bank. Not my kid. Well, God does that in a holy way. In Jude 24, the Bible says, now to him who is able, notice, to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Oh my goodness. Zephaniah chapter, I don't know, verse, I forget. Zephaniah something, chapter 2 or 3, says that in that day when you and I stand before God, the Lord will come to us and he will twirl about with shouts of joy. Excuse me? What? Yeah. Can you imagine? There ain't nothing getting him off his throne, apparently, but you. He's going to, when you show up, Zephaniah says, the Lord is going to come before you. He's going to look at you, and I'm going to go, I can't, Lord, thank you. I just happened to be here. He'll just, I don't know what kind of music is going to be. But he is going to twirl about and sing before me. He, to me, Zephaniah chapter 2 or 3, I can't remember. Verse, I don't know. What? 317. So I got the 3 right. It's an amazing verse. You should get excited about that. And so, he'll never leave us alone. He said in Hebrews 13, 5, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Did your wife leave you? Did your kids leave you? Did your husband leave you? Did your job leave you? Did your country leave you? God will never leave you. Isn't that great? Wow. And then this, and we're done. His faithfulness must honor his word. I love this part. God has to honor his word. Did you know that? He's placed himself under orders to his word. Psalm 138 tells us that he esteems his word higher than his own name. So what he says in the Bible, what you read, church, will you start believing it? If you start believing it, your life's going to change. God is faithful, verse 9, by whom you were called in the koinonia. The word is social intercourse. The fellowship of God's people. Of his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. That is an awesome thing to me. Deuteronomy 7, 9 tells us, therefore, know that the Lord your God, he is God, and that he's faithful, who will keep his covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations to those who love him and keep his commandments. 1 Thessalonians 5, 24, he who calls you is faithful, who will also do it. I love it. And so what does Jesus say? He says, okay, Matthew 7, 13, enter in by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way that leads to life, and few there be who find it. So what am I to do, Pastor Jack, in light of this? What am I supposed to do? You're supposed to choose Jesus Christ. You're supposed to become a Christian. Not a member of this church. I told you that before. You need to become a Christian, a real one. The world is dying to see real ones. The world is saying, show me a real one. May that be your prayer right now.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a study called Our Royal Route to Heaven. It's a look at some of Paul's opening remarks in this first letter to the Corinthians. It's also a great lesson in the kind of grace that comes from above. Again, the title, Our Royal Route to Heaven. It's part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse look at this New Testament letter, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Well, you know, the upcoming election is getting closer and closer as the minutes tick by. And of course, the question is, how do I vote and why? Well, recently here on Real Radio during an Ask Pastor Jack segment, we dealt with this very topic. You might have heard it. And Pastor Jack's treatment of this question involves really three essential areas. Number one, what are the candidate's views on Israel? Number two, does he or she defend the right of the unborn? And number three, what is the candidate's definition of marriage? Now, the last one is critical. We have to know if the candidate attaches the ever-changing, ever-evolving redefinition of marriage or the scriptural definition, which is between one man and one woman. Is marriage a political issue, as some try to say it is, or is it what's called a creation ordinance? Well, to help sort through it all, we at Real Radio are offering Pastor Jack's DVD called Politics and Faith, Why Traditional Marriage Matters. Now, this is, of course, a time-sensitive matter as the election's getting closer and closer, and that's why we at Real Radio are offering it to you for a gift of any amount in support of this radio broadcast outreach. Now, whether you click or call or write, be sure to mention it by name, Politics and Faith, Why Traditional Marriage Matters. Get it right away if you can. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. And it's real easy. You'll know right where to point and click. Realradioactive.org. Or if you'd like to call us, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. Or if you'd like to write to us and send your gift, which, by the way, is tax deductible, send it to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And, of course, all of our contact info can be found right there at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.